I'm someone who loves trying out different makeup looks, but doesn't really wear much on a daily basis, so I like to focus on making sure I have high quality staples. And whether you like a fresh face, full glam, or somewhere in between, you've probably seen Thrive Cosmetics Viral Tubing Mascara. I've certainly seen it everywhere. You know, the one in the turquoise tube? So that mascara, along with all of Thrive Cosmetics' beauty products, are certified 100% vegan and cruelty-free, which I look for in makeup, and they've got excellent quality to match. And something I didn't know from all the mascara videos I've seen is that for every product sold, Thrive Cosmetics donates either that same product, another product that is needed more, or a monetary donation. They've worked with over 500 nonprofits to help with a wide range of causes like supporting cancer survivors, people experiencing homelessness, education access, and so much more. Knowing that makes me feel even better about using their products. And I do enjoy using them. Like I said, I like having high quality staples, and so my favorites are products that are multi-purpose, like the Brilliant Eye Brightener. It comes in a bunch of colors, and I like using them as eyeliner, eyeshadow, and even highlighter. Thrive Cosmetics is luxury beauty that gives back. Right now, you can get an exclusive 20% off your first order at thrivecosmetics.com/thrive. That's Thrive Cosmetics, CAUSEMETICS, .com/thrive for 20% off your first order.
Are you thinking about getting into Dungeons & Dragons? Maybe you're looking to expand your horizons as a DM or a player. If that's the case, then it's time for you to check out The Dungeon Cast, the best D&D podcast out there that helps you passively learn all about the game just by listening. Join co-hosts Will and Brian as they break down the lore of a rich multiverse 50 years in the making in a lighthearted and beginner-friendly way. They cover everything from character creation options to tips for dungeon masters. There's something for everyone, no matter how long you've been playing TTRPGs. Find The Dungeon Cast anywhere you get podcasts or on YouTube.
But then I got to do the test. Do the test. Before you do the test, though, you sign a deal. So this is where it got weird. I had just signed a new manager, signed with a new manager at the time. We didn't really know each other. So I think he might not have really known how to be my advocate. At the time, I had only been here for like a year and a half. So I knew how bad I wanted the show, but I did not know how to advocate for myself.
Hello, world, and welcome back to another episode of Thanks for Coming In. I'm your host, Jillian Clare. We're approaching the holiday season. I'm very excited. I think we all could use some Christmas cheer or Hanukkah cheer or whatever it is that you celebrate. I personally love it just for the food and the company and being around people that I love, and I'm very excited to be going into this season. What else is going on? If you haven't listened to my fiction podcast yet called The Case Within, please check it out wherever you get your podcasts. All 8 episodes are now available to binge. Let's get to the show. Today I have Daniel Augustin. You may remember him from How I Met Your Father, or you may know him from his current role in Rap Shit. We had a really great conversation, and it was so cool to get to know him. So here's my conversation with Daniel. And welcome to the show, Daniel Augustin.
Thank you. Thank you. Hi. Hi, Jillian.
Hello. It is so lovely to see your face on the other side of that screen. I know people can't see it, but, you know, they can imagine a very bright, warm, welcoming smile.
Well, thank you. Thank you. I've been working on my smile. I've been going to the dentist.
What are your thoughts on the dentist? Do we like the dentist? Do we not like the dentist?
I do. I think you got to find the right one. You know what I mean? All of them do the drilling. So you're going to feel the pain at all of them, but you got to find the right one, the ones who they smile at the front desk and the doctors are nice, and then, you know, you'll be all right.
Yeah, I get it. Honestly, I'm one of those people who actually does like the dentist. I know it's strange, but I like getting my teeth cleaned.
Word. It feels good to walk up out of there like, wow. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah, you feel fresh.
Yeah, man. Yeah, for sure.
Well, okay, dentist talk aside, I'm very excited to have you on the show today and talk about your incredible career that you've had thus far. But before we get into all of the fantastic stuff that you've been working on in the past years, the first thing I always love to ask everyone who comes on the show is, why did you want to become an actor?
Oh, man. Freedom. It was more freedom. I couldn't keep a regular 9-to-5 for nothing. And I feel like the long game of the 9-to-5 and not being able to see the ending in the 9-to-5 was super debilitating. It was hard to really like come in every single day and see the value in it. Whereas with acting, it was like, you got some days where you're the one with the monologue. And yeah, there are some days where you're the one doing more of the supporting, but it felt more free. It felt more, I could use more energy. I could use more artistry, even if I was just doing background work. Even when I was doing background work, there still felt like there was artistry. I still was like thinking about how to do what I need to do. I was still looking at the cameras. You can kind of see everything operating. It's like you're in the middle of a clock factory or something as an actor. So yeah, it was more, it just felt so much more freeing every time I saw it, every time I was a part of it. So I got to go with freeing, you know, that just, that even though there's lines, it still feels like they're still waiting on you to like see if you can say those lines differently, as opposed to like, if you're at, you know, no shame to anybody who's doing the 9-to-5, but if you're doing the 9-to-5, it's like, nah, they really just need you to make sure you're here at 9. They need you to make sure you leave at 5, you know what I mean? And, you know, so it's more fun.
I mean, I get it. Bless the people who can do a 9-to-5. I lose my mind. I just can't do it.
Yeah, man. I've lost every single one of those jobs. I left one of those clips on my Instagram. There's a clip. This girl, I was working at the TSA, and this girl caught me knocked out during one of the meetings. Fell asleep. She took a video of me, and I put it on my Instagram because to this day, it's just like a testimony. And I always like to look at it because it's a reminder of like how I used to exude energy at work versus how I do it now. You know what I mean? So
yeah, that's a real testament to finding like what it is that fuels you as a person, because some people would thrive in that job. Some people find that job very exciting, and that's fantastic. Yeah. But it's all about finding what like works for you as a human.
Facts. Big facts. Yeah.
Big facts. Well, tell me about growing up. You grew up in Fort Lauderdale, right? And you were always attracted to music. Tell me about that.
Yeah. Man, I started making music when I was, I don't know, maybe like 10 years old. And that was always just, that was also another one of those things where you're making the rules when it comes to making music. I started though at church. So I started making music first at church. We had this Christian rap group. And really it just started because my dad would tell me to, you know, I got to find a way to like, you know, give glory to the Lord. That was his thing. I didn't understand that. All right. Yeah. But I was just like, all right, cool. I'll give him praise by rapping this song that I've been listening to. Back in the day, I was listening to like this group called Cross Movement, Winans, Phase 2. They're like the nephews of like the very popular BB and CC Winans and all that. And from there, that catapulted to like us starting a rap group at the church. After we started the rap group at the church, we then started to like have these bigger ideas because we played video games all the time. So we started then to be like, maybe we can get our song on NBA 2K Live. And so we started trying to do stuff like that. And then it literally always, like, I guess it just is always like a snowball effect sometimes, you know what I mean? And I'm still making music with a lot of those guys, which is crazy.
No way.
I was like, yeah, that was like 20 plus years ago. And I'm still making music with a lot of those guys. I actually just released my first single in like 4 years. And two of the guys that I started with helped me come up with that. You know, we all came up with like how we were going to release music again and what we want to do with it. And like two of those guys, Alvin and Steve and Guy, have been helping me along the way. And it's still just a beautiful thing. Like the art, I don't know. I don't feel like it's any different in some weird way. It's like music and acting is like an odd, like, such an odd collaboration. Even when I started to make, you know, when I started like film stuff, I didn't know how to edit, but I was accustomed to editing my music. Mm-hmm. And so when you're like mixing music, it's like you're still playing with those same kind of Legos. You know what I mean? Those same kind of blocks that you would if you were editing a film. So like, I didn't know how to edit the picture, but I knew how to edit sound. So yeah. I was kind of like, oh yeah, sound is still involved in TV and film. I didn't realize how heavily sound is involved. And so, you know, so that started at 10 years old and, you know, we've still been making music. I'm still doing it. And it still relates, like, you know, voiceover stuff.
Yeah.
It feels like that same kind of work. Like I'm still just stepping up to the mic and, you know, exuding energy based on what's here and in my diaphragm. And so the music game has been very beautiful. Yeah.
I love that you're still making art with your friends from your childhood. I think that is so special.
Yeah, it is. It really is. It really is. It's pretty trippy, actually. It's pretty trippy. I went back in like June of this year and we recorded. I was only down there for like 7 days, but we hammered out like 13 songs.
What?
We were just working like, yeah, it was like the Olympics. We were working like madmen. And it was just, it was fun. It was pretty intense because now I'm not doing it how I used to always do it. Like now, like back then it was super personal. All the songs were just my own songs. Now though, upon being in TV and film for like 6-7 years that I've been doing it, I guess I see the way that TV and film works, where it's like, all right, you got a showrunner mm-hmm. and a writer's room. And then you got the actors and there's this flow. And so when I went back down there, that's how we hammered out all those songs. We kind of created that same kind of setting. I would just talk to a lot of the guys about like, this is what I want to try to do.
Yeah.
And then we all sat in the room together like it was a writer's room and we hammered out songs. And I feel like that process, seeing the TV and film process and trying to bring that over into the music process for me has been, I don't know if the word is freeing anymore. I feel like for this now, it's been, that helps the music be a bit more organized, yeah. structured, you know, a little bit of organized and structure within the chaos of your creativity is like really, really, really dope. It's really, really fly to be able to like put all that stuff together, you know?
Yeah, it speaks to, you know, and some people are completely the opposite, right? Some people like cannot make art with other people. They do not know how to be collaborative in any sort of way. But then there's people like you, and I'm the same way, where it's like, I thrive on working with people and having that human connection, and my art is always going to be better if other people are working on it with me.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. It's a big difference. It's a big difference. Like, I love all the songs that I would do on my own. I love that. I still love that. But when I'm together with the guys, it's just different. It's a whole another writer in the room, a whole another brain in the room, and we can just bounce ideas off each other. It's going to end up being completely different.
I also feel like there's like it's easier to have a sense of pride. I feel like personally when you do it with other people, because it also is like you're also so proud of them. So it's easier to accept your own work almost, because you're like, oh, but I did it with them too. And they get to get noticed. And so it makes it like so much easier to like want to like promote something and want to be really excited about it, because it's not just you feeding your own soul. It's like, you're feeding others too.
Yeah, it feels a lot better. It feels a lot better, honestly. Yeah. like promoting myself is cool. It's a little weird though sometimes.
Yeah.
It's a little weird to just be like, yo, check me out.
I'm here.
Look at what I did. Yeah, but when I get a chance to kind of like talk about what the group, what we all did, I'm in there too. Mm-hmm. But it's a whole different kind of thing. You're moving like a unit.
Yeah.
It feels so much more empowering too. You can share it and they're not just sharing just your stuff. They're sharing their stuff too. Mm-hmm. And you know, you can kind of feel how much warmer that is than just like the personal, you know. Personal's dope, but you can feel it, you know.
Yeah.
You can definitely feel it.
It's a different vibe for sure. Well, take me through some of the recent shows that you've been on, because you've been doing a lot of TV work, which is really fun. You were in How I Met Your Father, opposite, I mean, my, like, childhood hero, Hilary Duff.
Yes. Yes, that was wild. So, all right, I'm going on 3 years here in LA now.
Okay.
Going on 3 years in like a week and a half. It's going to be the 3 year anniversary. Yeah. So we got here in December of 2020, my wife and I, and I booked Grey's Anatomy in February.
Wow.
I booked Grey's Anatomy in February. That was wild because I loved that show. And then...
Who doesn't?
Right. And then in June, I booked Rap-ish. I booked Rap-ish, which is on Max. And then literally like 3 weeks later, not 3 weeks later, actually August, How I Met Your Father came back. I auditioned for it in July, but did not get it. And then they recasted it because something crazy happened. Hillary got COVID. She had got COVID. The guy who booked that role, I'm a fan of his work, actually, this guy named Brandon Michael Hall. He couldn't stay because he was filming something in London. They recasted the role. It's crazy. Recasted the role. And I just remember auditioning for that role on like, literally on like a Wednesday. On Thursday, I heard back, and they were like, "Yeah, we love you. We're gonna have why can't I remember the word right
chemistry
now?
Read?
They were like, "Yes, thank you so much, Jesus." They're like, "We're gonna have a chemistry read on Friday with you and Hillary." I was like, "What?" I was like, "All right." So on Friday, I do a chemistry read with Hillary, and then on Saturday, they reach back out and they're like, "We love you. We're gonna bring you on, but can you come tomorrow?" So on Sunday, literally I was on set on the Paramount lot, and it was wild because nobody on that show had done any multicam stuff. That's my first time meeting Hillary. I had the hugest crush on her growing up, and I told her that like an idiot, but
I'm sure she was cool about it. Yeah,
she was super cool about it. She was very graceful. She's so nice. She has like chickens that she raises at her house. And so I told her that, like, I've never really had chickens from, you know, like free-range chickens that I know of. I never really had eggs from, like, free-range chickens or whatever. And she was just like, "Oh, I'll bring you some." And she brought me some, like, literally the next day. It was cool. It's just, I know it's quirky. I know it's, like, out of the box or whatever. But it was super cool. And I think it just kind of, like, it goes to show, like, how considerate she is. Mm-hmm. She was super considerate, super graceful. It was dope to watch her, too. She's been working so long. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? So like, I don't know that we always think about it like this as actors, because it's super easy to think only about your journey, one's own journey, because we're always thinking about when are we going to get this, that, or the third. But like, there is so much to learn from people who have been doing it already. And some of that stuff that we can learn, it's not really like something where they're going to stop you and be like, "Hey, make sure you're paying attention to me."
Right.
You know what I mean? So just coming into work, seeing how she would come into work, how prepared she would be, I was like, you know, zoomed in on stuff like that. Mm-hmm. So super, super, super graceful. She was super kind. And I never saw her come into work and have a bad day. Like, I used to sometimes just feel like she was acting off camera, but she wasn't. She was super just, that's just how she is. She's just graceful like that. And, you know, I love that. So that was How I Met Your Father. Working with Issa Rae on Rap-ish has been life-changing.
Crazy. I can only imagine.
Yeah. That's been crazy. That's been life-changing. It's been life-changing in creative ways, financial ways. Speechless, honestly, as far as like how to really even completely express that entire experience. And it's still going on right now, so I don't even fully understand it all right now. I'm like doing my best to, you know what I mean? I'm doing my best right now to completely appreciate it while being in it, while at the same time, you know, it's outer body work.
It's hard,
like all of this
you're
stuff.
In it. Like, you're in the middle of it. It's like the eye of a tornado, so it's hard to really wrap your head around what's going on.
Yeah. Yeah. And I want to be able to appreciate it while it's happening and not let it blow by me and then look back later. But at the same time, I still have to be able to be like, have my eye out on like timing and the universe. We just got out of a strike. During the strike, How I Met Your Father got canceled. I would have never expected that. And so there's still always this like teetering of like, am I safe?
Right. Yeah.
Well, you know what I mean? It's wild. Like this work, like, yeah, I didn't want the 9 to 5, but the 9 to 5, you kind of know.
Yeah. Yeah.
They want you to come back.
At least
tomorrow.
You know that you have a job in a couple weeks.
This is different. This is so different. And like, that's partly why it's super, super special, because mm-hmm. of not knowing, but still being able to be a part of it. And so, you know, and then anytime they have like an episode, we have watch parties. So, you know, they invite me over and yeah, we're all watching it as a cast. So we're all still connecting and building camaraderie. And it's been wild. And then trying to fit in auditions mm-hmm. in between it is like, how?
It's a puzzle.
How?
It's always
emotionally.
Yeah.
Because I can get in there and do an audition like this. I can get in and push it out. But then sometimes that's just not how it works, because the character demands more of your right. energy, your attention.
Right. And if you're not if you're not feeling fully connected that day, which some days you just don't. Like it's like anybody else. You can have just an off day where you're just like, I don't feel connected to myself, to this work, to anything right now. It could be, I could give a way better performance the next day, but in that moment you could be totally off and it's like you can't even control it, because it's just not, it's not there at that second.
Yeah. Yeah. I feel like I'm always my best when I'm not actually, like when I first get the sides and stuff and I'm just like going over it. Mm-hmm. Oh, it's on fire.
Yeah.
It's on fire.
Yeah. The longer you
pull the camera out.
It's the worst.
Pull the camera. I was like, yo, what's up with the read? What's going on, man? I just had to, okay. Let me. It's trippy. It's trippy. Super cool to be able to tape from home, but it's still trippy.
Yeah. I'm an in-person fan. I mean, I think the nice thing about self-tapes, right, is that you can have a little bit more time to, you know, do it on your own. I think I'm a really big people person, so I like being able to talk to somebody like this. Like, I like being able to connect. I like, you know, and so many of these casting directors, I've been an actor for 20 some odd years now, and there's so many of the casting directors that I know outside of just being casting directors, so I'd like to go in there and be like, how's your son, and you know, catch up a tiny bit, just to like, you know, continue that human connection.
We're going to take a quick commercial break and then we'll be right back.
You can shop from anywhere doing pretty much anything. You might shop while working, eating, or even listening to this podcast. And however you shop, we all know and love the thrill of the hunt. But do you also know how to get the thrill of the best deals? Because Rakuten shoppers do. With Rakuten, they get the deals they love with the most savings and cash back. And you can get it too. Start getting cash back at your favorite stores like Sephora, Nike, and even Expedia if you're looking to get some travel in. And getting cash back doesn't mean you have to miss out on sales, because those can just be stacked right on top. It's easy to use and based on a simple idea. Stores pay Rakuten for sending them shoppers, and Rakuten shares the money with you as cash back through PayPal or check. Download the free Rakuten app and never miss a deal. Or go to Rakuten.com to start getting the most bang for your buck. That's Rakuten. As a podcast network, our first priority has always been audio and the stories we're able to share with you. But we also sell merch, and organizing that was made both possible and easy with Shopify. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell and grow at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. They have an all-in-one e-commerce platform and in-person POS system, so wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. With the internet's best converting checkout, 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms, Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers. Shopify has allowed us to share something tangible with the podcast community we've built here, selling our beanies, sweatshirts, and mugs to fans of our shows without taking up too much time from all the other work we do to bring you even more great content. And it's not just us. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the US. Shopify is also the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/realm, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/REALM now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/realm.
And back to the show.
I want to go back to rap. You call it rapish, but I can say, I mean, we can say shit on here, so rap shit.
I want to make sure. I'm be trying to, you know.
We're good. Okay. We can call it rap shit. All right. I want you to take me through what it's been like creating this character, because it's the first time that you've been on a show for multiple seasons and you're creating an arc. And I want to know what that's been like for you as an actor, finding his voice.
Yo, that's crazy, because you don't know who the heck these people are.
Yeah.
And they keep getting, and like they rewrite it. They'll rewrite like my character from season one to season two. Personally, it's hard to track him. You know what I mean? So I got to make sense of where he's going and what happened in between that. I got to humanize that. Mm-hmm. I get to humanize that. Mm. But to do that, it takes like brain work that like is not discussed in any of the acting classes that I know of. Mm-hmm. For real, for real. Like a lot of the classes that I know of are really more so about getting you the job.
Yeah.
Keeping the job is different. Excelling at the job is different. You know what I mean? Like for stuff like that, you might want to get a personal coach. But like for me in particular, it's been trippy because, you know, one of the things I appreciate the most is that I'm Haitian. Mm-hmm. So this character I already resonated with, mm-hmm. you know, sorry, I don't know if my thing just froze because it said I got low storage device apparently. So I'm Haitian. So I resonate with this character, but there's also a sense of like what part of my Haitian culture can resonate with him in particular, because there's like millennial Haitians too.
Mm.
And so that was one thing. Then this character is based there. The show is based in Miami. So there's lingo mm-hmm. for Miami in particular, but in season two, they go from not only being in Miami, but like our lead characters are now traveling all over the world and stuff. And my character is going through like legal issues. Mm. And so season one went from being very, how can I say, sensually playful to, I'll say, he was very much of a rogue in season one to like season two, he's going through a lot of emotional things. Mm. So his arc has gone from very, very comedic to, in a lot of ways, dramatic. Mm. Which is cool. I accepted that challenge too, because I thought, you know, that's dope. It's like I get a chance to have, you know, a character who's going to have a different kind of arc than what was expected, a different type of, you know, like I won't be having scenes that are basically the same.
Right.
You know, he won't just be doing the same thing from season one to season two.
Yeah.
But it was challenging though, for sure, because you don't always know how to feel comfortable with what you think is going to happen. Like every time I'd go into the writer's room, it was something different than what I would expect. You know, like when after season one, I had assumptions as to what was going to happen mm-hmm. or, you know, how we were going to get into season two. None of that.
They were like, none of that played out. Straight wrong. Absolutely not.
you know, it's been really trippy. Sometimes I try to ask like, you know, the writers, you know, I'll link up with them sometimes for like a lunch or something like that. And I try to ask them sometimes like, how can I come in, you know, this season in a way that might elevate the work I did last year or in a way that might really support what you guys are doing? So I think the best way I can answer the question is it's constant work. It's constant research. Mm-hmm. You know, like I don't know that this work is that much more different from like being a scientist. This is almost like creative science.
Yeah, I like work that.
Of some kind. You know what I mean?
Creative scientist.
It's like creative scientist work. You feel me? Like, and you know, you're trying to make your best. And here's the craziest thing. I don't always know what is going to work. I come in with what I have prepared, but I don't know what's going to work because we're still trying stuff out on set. Yeah. I don't know what take they're going to use. I don't always know who they want this guy, who they can really see this guy being. I just really have to be super, super open to bringing what I thought was of value to this character and to this story. And at the same time, being open to all of the ideas that might happen on set, whether that's because the actor across from me is doing something that brought something else out, or because the director has different ideas than what I thought was, you know, what we were going to be doing. So it's research.
Yeah.
The research never stops. The research never stops. And I really just try to make the research as fun as possible with stuff like playlists, music playlists. My playlist from season one was completely different than season two.
Yeah.
All those songs. Like, I had to get rid of like 60% of the songs that I had season one because he was not on that kind of energy.
Yeah.
And so that's been part of the work for me too. It's just like finding the right kind of playlist, the right kind of music that can really be the backdrop for how I'm coming into work. Because it really helps me. Because a lot of the stuff has been said before sometimes.
Yeah.
Some of the songs that I might be studying or letting play while I'm studying, you know, the work that week, some of those songs really can help me just kind of be in it in a different kind of way, in a different kind of emotional way, you know?
I totally get it. Music has always been one of those things that helps me, especially like before an audition or before an emotional scene. There are certain songs that really just bring something out
in
me where I feel so much more connected as an artist to the words that are on the page, and it's a lot easier to get to that emotional state. I mean, now is when I would normally ask you to share an audition story. You did share your How I Met Your Father audition story, which was pretty fantastic. I don't know if you have another one that you want to share, but I mean, that one was awesome.
I have one that this one is still, I'm still working through this one in therapy. 97 or something like that.
Okay.
I'm a huge fan of this show. So I had a friend who was the assistant of the guy who was directing.
What? Okay. A friend who was the assistant of the guy.
Assistant of the guy who's directing. He tells me, he didn't send me the script or nothing, but he was just like, yo, the wood is about to be coming out, bro. I think you'd be perfect for this. You got to try to find a way to get in. I talked to my agent at the time. My agent's like, there's no way I can get you in on this. You're on How I Met Your Father. You're on Rap Shit. It's just not going to make sense. But at the time I was on Rap Shit, I was a recurring guest star.
Okay.
And at the time I was on How I Met Your Father, I had yet to get like the deal for season two. So I only had two episodes in season one, and the deal was supposed to be I was going to get 7 episodes out of the 10. This was before they supersized it and turned it into 20. So then they recently supersized it, turned it into 20. So I was going to get 14 out of 20. So my agent's like, there's no way you could pass up on that because you're going to make a buku of money or whatever. So, all right. So, but I'm like, nah, I need to do this show because I know how I resonate with the show. Like, I felt like I really needed to do this. So got him to give me the audition, and I had to like bully him to do it, but he got me the audition. I auditioned for it, and I really felt like I put my foot in this audition. It felt right. Like, sometimes I do stuff that doesn't feel right, and I might get a pin, I might not, but this felt so specific. Anyways, I book it. But then I got to do the test.
Do the test.
Before you do the test, though, you sign a deal. So this is where it got weird. I had just signed with a new manager at the time. We didn't really know each other. So I think he might not have really known how to be my advocate. At the time, I had only been here for like a year and a half. So I knew how bad I wanted the show, but I did not know how to advocate for myself. I did not feel like I could or should do that over the experience of these reps. I have like very I have a very intimate relationship when it comes to reps. Maybe intimate's not the right word. Very detailed, like from getting here from South Florida to here, because the industry is so different in South Florida that the reps think different and talk different over there. It's like a completely different kind of mindset. And then you go to, I went to Atlanta. It's a completely different kind of industry over there too. So they talk different over there too. You come to LA and it's different here. They talk different here. They, you know, the politics with the reps, I'd say, is what's so super different, you know? So with the new manager that I had at the time, it was at a much bigger company. And so I kind of leaned on experience, relationships, resources of the bigger company. The advice that they had felt like, and they, the reps, they talk. I'm saying they, I'm kind of putting everybody in a circle right now. And I know that I'm doing that because majority of reps, I'll say majority, tend to talk so confidently, super confidently. Like they know because they've been doing this so much longer than you. So this was an experience for me. The reason I'm sharing this story in particular is because this was an experience for me where I saw myself not really be able to advocate for myself because I gave somebody else more ownership of my opportunity. And this was the situation where I realized how much control I need to take, even if I'm afraid of the results. The reason why they were afraid was because of how much money I was slated to make on How I Met Your Father. So ultimately, I don't know how specific I should get like about numbers, but I'll do it because I think it's going to help people, right? So they started off the conversations. The main thing was the Wood was only going to be there for a pilot episode. They were offering me $30,000 for that episode. And so I was like, yo, let's go. Let's do this. Like, this is it. Like, I'm ready to do this, you know? But my reps at the time were like, bro, no way. No way, you're slated to make six figures on How I Met Your Father. Slated to make mid six figures. And so I was like, but listen, guys, I feel you on that. But like, I don't know. I'm number seven or number eight on that show. And yeah, they're saying that I'm going to get 14 episodes next season. But it doesn't feel like the show is written for me. I'm already seven or eight. There's no way I'm going to be propelled up to being like that much of a lead on this show. And they were like, you know, listen, man, we hear you. You know, I told them like, look, man, I really want to do this. It's specific for me, et cetera, so on and so forth. They were like, we hear you, but this is too much of a chance you're taking. You don't know. You don't know this, that, and the third. And, you know, you're going to miss out on the money. You're going to miss out on the opportunity to. So they ended up trying to push the money up. They got it up to like 60. So I'm like, yo, 60K for a pilot. I'm like, come on, guys, let's do this. I shouldn't have been saying, come on, guys. This is the main lesson that I'm sharing. I shouldn't have been saying, come on. I should have been saying, if you guys aren't with me on this, you're all gone. Because I came here to do this work and I found a job that fits me. And even if this, that, and the third doesn't work, I gotta do this. I wasn't able to say that I was afraid because relationships, resources, experiences, they have more experiences than me, but they don't have my experiences. And I did not know how to express that beyond the combos that we were having. I was having a conversation with a manager, an agent, and the new lawyer that I had at the time. I never even had a lawyer before, so I wasn't comfortable. I felt like this was a great thing. I felt like, you know, I finally got a team. I got a team. But being intentional is like more important. Like it's a hard road knowing how to discern when you need to take the advice and when you need to drive the car. And that for me was the hardest thing in the world. The agent at the time was like, listen, because of the money you're going to make on How I Met Your Father, I went back to them and I told them that if they can't get it up to $125,000 for this pilot, we can't do it. I didn't know what to say. I didn't know what to think. I thought to myself, wow, if I could get 125, why wouldn't I try to get 125? So I said, all right, cool. Let's do that. And so they passed on me. They went with somebody else. The other guy they went with, I'm on IMDb like crazy, so I'm always going to see who gets it. You know what I mean? The other guy they went with, you know, I don't know how it went with him in particular, but the show did not go forward after that pilot. The wood did not go forward. So in retrospect, I don't know if the agent was right, because I feel like if I would have got a chance to do that role, I believe it could have been a different experience. But shortly afterwards, How I Met Your Father did not renew that deal. So I did not get those 14 episodes.
Oh.
And so it was one of those experiences where I did end up, like, it all worked out because I was talking to all the writers on Rap Shit and I was linking up with them. I was talking to them, and I even had a meeting with the casting director. I don't know how that happened. I don't know who worked that out or whatever, but I had a meeting with the casting director at the time. Oh my God, if I'm not mistaken, the casting director is my publicist's mom.
Oh, funny.
That's how I met my publicist. Yes. So I even had a meeting with the casting director at the time, and she was super, super, super graceful with me and super kind. Sometimes in this industry, like, you're going to find some people who are like, they're not going to lead you astray. They're going to kind of tell you things for you and not for the good of the team. Just to kind of go back a little bit, after this whole thing happened with the wood, I was so confused about how to be a leader. I fired everybody and took some time off of having a team. Wow. So I didn't have a manager. I didn't have an agent. I needed to kind of like reconfigure how to do this work. And upon talking to the casting director, I was letting her know like what was going on with Hulu and what was going on in general. And she let me know that, like, she went back and was like, okay, so I let them know that this, that, and the third is going on with Hulu, and, you know, Rap Shit wants to offer you a series regular. Because there was constantly a lot of back and forth between Rap Shit and Hulu that first season, because Rap Shit had me on in a recurring guest star capacity. But How I Met Your Father also had me in first position. So if there was ever any, like, oh, we need him
overlap,
over here.
Yeah, you were always at How I Met
Your
Father.
Hulu could always be like,
yeah,
facts. Even though I only had two episodes, they were in first position. So they could always say whatever they needed to say or do whatever they needed to do. So upon Rap Shit, understanding that, like, oh, all right. So they, you know, we locked in my series regular with Rap Shit before I locked it in. I was meeting managers at the time. The casting director, she told me, she suggested that, you know, I try to get somebody to help me with the deal. And so I brought in a manager, and that manager brought in another manager who helped me bring in another lawyer. And this time around, it was a completely different scenario just as far as how this deal worked out. Only reason I share that story, and I have so many horror stories audition-wise, only reason I share that one is because I think as actors, one of the hardest things, because we're constantly thinking about getting in, getting a job, but none of the acting classes have ever taught me how to, you don't really learn how to think for yourself except for when you're, like, you're taught how to think for yourself through the character. Mm-hmm. But when all this stuff happened, I started to realize what it really was going to mean to be an entrepreneur or CEO of this kind of business.
Well,
and
yeah,
this was like the...
That's like the number one thing, right? It's like with this business, you're not taught in acting class that you are a CEO. It's just
facts.
The product you're selling is yourself. You're selling your art.
Facts.
So you have to be the CEO of your company and figure out the best people to work with, who you want on your team. And, you know, I've always said this, and my mom always told me this when I was growing up too. It's like, you know, a manager and an agent and a lawyer and whoever else is on your team can only, you know, do so much. At the end of the day, they're your team. They're there to support your decisions. And if they can't support your decisions, then you have to find people who will. You have to find the people who are going to bring you up rather than try to, like, tell you that what you're deciding is, you know, wrong or different, because this is your career. This is your livelihood. Yeah. Like, you have to make those decisions.
Yeah. And this is just a hard road for me.
Yeah.
Because, like I said, they have so much confidence
with how they say
stuff. And that a lot of them are like, oh, don't worry about it. I know that casting director. We're good. You're good. And I was like, where do I fit in that when I know I don't know this casting director like that? I know I don't do lunches with the casting director. I don't. So sometimes it feels like I'm being a good teammate by listening. And I didn't know how to differentiate how to be a teammate and how to be a leader. And you know, some of the quotes, like, you can't be a good leader unless you know how to follow. So I'm like, all right, cool. Like, I felt like I was doing a good thing by listening. And then, man, when I saw the deadline, I think it was Deadline or Variety, but when I saw the Deadline article come out with who got the role, I was like, yo, man, they really moved forward. They really moved forward. They're not going to, they're not coming back with this thing. And it was like, it was definitely like the greatest, I'll say like greatest lesson of my career to date, the greatest lesson that I've had as far as just really understanding what it's going to mean to move forward and to like learn what advocating for myself is really going to mean, you know?
Yeah. So important. And I'm glad you shared that, because you're right. It's not something that's talked about a lot, and actors really need to learn how to be their own advocates so that, you know, you get to do the things that you want and work with the people that you want. Otherwise, you'll never get there.
Facts.
I've had such a pleasure having you on the phone. Where am I? Having you on the show.
Well, we've been all over the place. I had you over
that's
there.
That's true. We've been all across the world today. But it's been so lovely to have you on the show, and I'm so excited to see what you do.
Thank
and you.
You
know, not just as an actor, but with your production company and your music.
Thank you.
You got so much going on, and it's going to be a really cool journey to watch this all unfold.
Thank you. I appreciate that. Thank you so much.
Of course.
Likewise.
Oh, and how can people follow you on social media to keep up with all of your stuff?
For sure. Yeah, I'm at Daniel Augustin. That's AUGUSTIN on Instagram. And the other ones, I wish they were all the same name, but I cannot get all the same name on all of them. So like on TikTok, I'm like, I am Daniel Augustin. And I think on Twitter, I'm D Augustin 2 underscores. I hate that name. I hate it. But yeah, those are the 3 different social media accounts that I have right now.
Oh, goodness. Awesome. Well, thank you again. It was lovely talking to you. And
likewise.
Happy almost Christmas, New Year, all the fun holiday things.
Word. Happy holidays to you, too. Thank you. Thank you.
Thanks again to Daniel for coming on the show. Make sure to check out Rap Shit and tune in next week for another fun conversation. Make sure to subscribe to the show wherever you listen to it. Tell your friends, your family. Hit those rate and review buttons. They really help us out. And as always, thanks for coming in.
Hey there, this is Justin Bartha. I made a funny new podcast, King of the Egg Cream. It has the greatest cast in the history of podcasts, with actors like Louis Black.
I'm torn by my feelings for 2 women.
Bobby Cannavale.
You can eat it, or if someone hits you, you can put it on your cut.
Melanie Lynskey.
I wonder what these marvelous things are that look just like boiled chicken feet.
Jason Ritter.
I can break things and pick locks and kill people.
Michael Stuhlbarg.
The whole point is to inspire people that they should make themselves better.
Ari Grainer.
No, don't whet its appetite. What are you, an idiot?
Me, Justin Bartha.
That's not just any egg cream, that's a Lemke's special.
And all narrated by the hilarious Richard Kind.
This is the story of Harry Dalowitz and how he rose from nothing to become New York's King of the Egg Cream.
So if you like funny true stories, come listen to King of the Egg Cream, available wherever you get your podcasts.